Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Are you ready for truly hydrated skin? Meet Hyaluronic Body Serum, a breakthrough in body care from Osea. It's clinically proven to instantly increase hydration by 161%. Their lightweight, fast-absorbing serum delivers 24 hours of nonstop hydration for silky, smooth skin without the sticky afterfeel. Osea's latest innovation combines the magic of their best-selling Hyaluronic C Serum with a new formula that's good for the whole body and 5 types of hyaluronic acid to target every layer of the skin. Osea is a woman-founded, women-led brand that's been crafting seaweed-powered products for nearly 30 years. The best part? Everything Osea makes is clean, vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Treat your skin to clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SUMMER at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code SUMMER.
Hey, everyone. Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
Welcome, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between. You have stumbled into a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. We are the show that dives into the discography and the catalog of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. I am one of your co-hosts, Mark Kammeyer. With me, as always, Corey Morissette. Corey, how you holding up?
I'm doing okay, but this feels a little weird. I haven't actually done any other podcasts since last week. Usually, John and
I don't believe Mariano,
it's true. John Mariano and I usually record a ton, but he's been a pretty busy guy. He's back out on the dating scene, and you know, the ladies love them some Mariano, right? So he's been busy. I'm kind of rusty. This has been an entire week without a show, so I don't know if I'm going to remember how to do this.
I have no doubt in my mind you'll find your footing again, because doing a podcast is like riding a bicycle. If you've never done it before, then you know, it takes you a moment to learn. And if you've done it before, then hey, maybe you stumble a couple of times, but you get back on that seat and you ride. At least that's what they tell me. I don't know. This is coming from someone who hasn't ridden a bike in many, many years. So I might be very much embarrassing myself by saying what I'm saying, because I don't know what I look like on a bike these days. And I honestly don't want to see that. I don't think anybody wants to see that unless you just love seeing accidents happen. But we're not here to talk about that. We're not here to witness accidents. We're here to talk about rock and roll, specifically Van Halen rock and roll. But before we do that, you guys, we have another guest. We are not alone, Corey, are we?
No, we're not. I've been looking forward to this one for a long time. I'll let you do the intro, but he is one of the deep dive legends and one of the main reasons we wanted to join this network, because he does one of the better shows on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
We are screaming for vengeance, and we've got a touch of evil within our souls, because joining us from the Metal Gods podcast, the Judas Priest show, right here on the Deep Dive Podcasting Network, we have George the Metal God Solano. How you doing, George?
I am feeling fantastic, and what a pleasure it is to be here chilling with you guys on a nice Thursday night talking about some lovely rock and roll.
I hope you're a fan of Women and Children First, because this damn wheel is broken. The last three tracks have all come from side. Not that I'm complaining, because I've loved all three, but all three tracks have come from side two of Women and Children First. So I hope you're ready for that.
And listen, that is cool with me. Even though the odds would be really highly astronomical to spin four Women and Children First songs in a row, I'd be cool with it, because that's probably my favorite Van Halen album. And since we're already on the subject, I'll tell you that the song I Want the Wheel to Manifest is Loss of Control.
I was going to say, Loss of Control is the other one on that side, right? So it's got to be that one, right? So that would be a great choice tonight. And maybe before we get rolling here, George, how did you kind of get into Van Halen?
Yeah, you know what? I've told this story before on my own podcast, and I got into metal and rock just by inheriting some CDs from my family. Just my dad walked into my room one day when I was 13 or 14 with a big box, and he plopped it down and said, "Hey, look what I found. These all were mine, and now I'm giving them to you." And he had quite the collection. You know, we're talking classics from Zeppelin, AC/DC, and of course Van Halen 1 and 2 were part of that big box full of gems. And it was a real cool time for me, because I wasn't super into the music that was popular growing up. Nowadays I listen to everything, but I sort of had to come back to that, to those sort of pop and hip hop that was popular for my generation. But when I was younger, I was looking for something else. I was looking for rock. I was looking for metal. And I was just searching through that box, trying to find the voices that appealed to me. And I found a lot. I found a lot of artists that spoke to me. And Van Halen 1 and 2, they were part of that. I wouldn't say I ever became a huge Van Halen fan, but that part of the story comes in much later, very recently, in fact, just by getting to know you guys and listening to your show. Oh. And once you, And once you joined the Deep Dive Network and I started listening and checking out more of the Van Halen music, and I said, you know what? This is perfect. This is one of these bands that I've always said I'm going to check out more. And you sort of gave me that onus to take me from a casual fan to someone who knows the music and the albums pretty well at this point. So, hey, I got to give you guys credit there.
Well, thank you very much. Well, that's awesome to hear. And actually, I'll say the same thing to you that I said to Scott from the Magicians podcast with Uriah Heep. I was a casual fan, a pretty decent fan of Judas Priest. But after joining the network and listening to your show, I'm becoming a much more in-depth fan of Judas Priest. I know Mark was a lifelong Judas Priest fan. So we talked about actually doing a show and just on an album. And one of the albums he threw out was a Judas Priest album. Do you remember what that was offhand there, Mark?
It was Painkiller. Yeah. It was absolutely Painkiller. That's the and I should amend. Thank you, Corey, for saying so. But I should amend it. Lifelong Judas Priest fan, not quite, but close for many, many years. But nothing solidified my fandom with that band until I gave Painkiller its the entire run through, and that's the one I tend to just go back to all the time if I'm listening to Priest tunes. And that kind of that goes into what I was going to ask George. George, do you have a favorite Priest album? Can you name your favorite Priest album and tell me why it's Painkiller?
Yeah, and that's a loaded question because it's so mood dependent. And
yeah,
I'm not going to assume that everyone is familiar with Judas Priest who's listening, because let's face it, Van Halen is a much more popular band. They have a lot higher monthly listeners on Spotify. So for those who don't know, Judas Priest is one of the earliest heavy metal bands. They formed around the same time as Black Sabbath, and they've never really had a hiatus. They've been making music for over 50 years now, and they've gone through a lot of evolutions. They started in sort of a progressive rock territory and then moved forward into something more streamlined. And then laid the roots for what we know today as heavy metal. And then they explored various subgenres within that, like the glammier, poppier side and the heavier, thrashier side. And they've covered a lot of ground. And to me, that's part of what makes Judas Priest such an interesting band and why I wanted to do a show dedicated to them, because it gets pretty interesting to compare and contrast all those different things that they tried. That said, Painkiller is pretty close to the top, Mark.
Yeah, so there's your, there you go.
Roundabout answer, while also sort of giving the listeners a little bit of a lowdown on Judas Priest at the same time.
Well said. Couldn't have said it better myself. But that's awesome. Definitely tune into that show, you guys. It is. I don't think we would be here if not for the Metal Gods podcast, and you know, of course, Pod of Thunder. Respectfully, that's sort of is why we do what we do, but also because we love Van Halen. And believe it or not, not a lot of Van Halen podcast talk out there, and that's a shame. So Corey and I have made it our mission to change that. At least that's the way I'm seeing it. We're on a mission from the metal gods themselves and the rock gods and you know, all the musical gods. So there's probably a lot of them. It's a lot of genres to cover.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, Mark, we have a poll, a Twitter poll that we have to cover from this week. There's a lot of Van Halen that maybe we can get into maybe in August. A lot of back and forth between like David Lee Roth and Wolfgang Van Halen. I would recommend everybody go out there, read the Van Halen news desk. There's so much news out there. They'll be able to catch you up. I know Wolfie had some statements this week. David Lee Roth had an answer to a statement from the Eddie Van Halen article from a little while ago. I just kind of want to get into the music tonight. So maybe let's talk about the Twitter poll from last week and last week's song, which was Could This Be Magic?
Indeed, indeed. So looking at the Twitter poll, it looks like it was pretty straightforward. Not a ton of what do you know, Cult of Mariano influence going on, but from the looks of it, the poll was voted 81% What Dreams Are Made Of for Could This Be Magic, and only 19% The Dream Is Over. And frankly, that sounds about right.
I still am a little shocked that 19% of the people voted down this song, because it's fun. And our first comment from Jonathan, I think, sums it up quite nice. He says, it's one of those summertime sitting around the pool or fire pit songs. It's not a standout on the record like Take Your Whiskey Home or Everybody Wants Some, but it's fun, which is the Van Halen MO. Which is 100% right. I agree 100% with that.
I can get behind that. I wouldn't call it a top tier track, but it's definitely a good one. And I don't know, I don't recall if this was mentioned on the last episode, but it's sort of a title track, isn't it? Because they actually say the words women and children first in the lyrics.
They do.
Yep. We did. I actually had to pause it there and point out it's always great whenever the band throws in the title track and the lyrics of the song. So. Next up, we have Jonathan, who says, I wonder if David Lee Roth wrote most of the music and lyrics to the song and Ed just wailed on it. Not possibly. I know David played acoustic rhythm guitar on this, and it kind of sounds like it, right? Like Eddie just picked up a guitar and started playing. Yeah. Thought that was kind of neat. Bobby says, love the recording of Could This Be Magic. Van Halen were the masters of capturing themselves live, the rain falling in the background, along with Nicolette Larson's vocals. Brilliant. And that's one thing, when you really listen to it with headphones on, you really get that rain falling in the background, because they had the doors open and it was raining outside when they were recording. But it really kind of gives you a nice ambiance on the recording of that track. Our good buddy Michael says, great track, shows the other side of Van Halen. I have to agree with John Mariani, which he doesn't like to do. I call him John Mariani because that's how it says on Twitter.
Mariani.
John Mariano. I have to do that all the time. But he has to agree with his takes, which he doesn't like to do. And he says, damn. But in the end, he loses the book game, so it made up for that. It's What Dreams Are Made Of, magic. So thank you very much, Michael. Agreeing again with John, which we never thought would happen. They were adversaries for a long time, but they've been agreeing a lot more lately here. Airhead 3 says, great track. Eddie is amazing. Love the harmonies on the chorus. Absolutely. The fact that the Lonely Ship's refrain is in unison gives it a sea shanty feel. I remember the remastered CD release was a revelation. So crisp, I could hear the water in the background for the first time.
There you go. Look, I'm not going to knock the vinyl lovers out there. You think vinyl is the only way to listen to music. I would strongly disagree with that statement. Sometimes hearing it in a digital format, you can hear everything, especially put on some headphones. Sometimes with vinyl, things get a little bit muffled unless you have one of those like super powered amp and, you know, speakers and stereo system, and that's fine. But don't knock the CD, man. Come on.
There's room for both. I'm a vinyl guy, but I'm not knocking CDs at all or digital music. However you're listening to music, that's great. Listen to it and enjoy it. Next up, we have from You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast. I love those guys. They said the back half, or side B, if you're old like me, of Women and Children First is filled with hidden gems like this, often overlooked, but always great to hear when they come on. That's from Brian from that podcast. So thank you very much for your comments, Brian. Here's some guys George might remember from the Deep Purple podcast. They do a pretty good show. Geez, Mark, we're going to try and get them on the show. What do you say? Are you down?
We do, yeah. Absolutely.
I'll reach out to them. Hopefully they'll agree. They said, love this track. It's a cool little diversions like this that spice up any great album and just make it better. And that sums it up, I think, pretty succinctly. Kevin Brown, who hosts the Tom Petty Project and is going to be a guest on our show coming up in August. We'll have more news about upcoming guests and the month of August coming up after the song tonight, so stay tuned for that. But he says, genuinely my favorite track from the album. So unique. That matched melody line between the guitar and vocal in the chorus makes the song no for me. Makes the song no for me, Lonely Ships Upon the Water. Love, Mark. Shout out to the first of Slide Guitar 2. Bonnie is a badass. There you go. He gave it a What Dreams Are Made. And then finally, Gene says, it really is just a fun tune, plain and simple. When this comes up on shuffle, it doesn't get skipped. To which some dude named Eric said Barry Manilow was a legend. And Gene said, yes, he is, but that's a different show. So somebody else there wants to do a Barry Manilow show and to add it to the Deep Dive Podcasting network of shows, I'm sure that would be considered.
I'm sure some people would listen. Actually, a lot of people might listen to that. I don't know how it would go over with our fellow network podcasters, but hey, you know, you guys do you. Not going to knock on the Manilow. You get your Manilow on. Yeah, Monday's right. Manilow. Yeah, make it a Monday show. It's all good.
And just one final tweet here before we get going. False Premise says, you mentioned Nicolette Larson's background vocals on the track. Like Van Halen, she was also produced by Ted Templeman. Check out this track of hers, which featured Eddie Van Halen on guitar, solo at a minute 45. So that link, that YouTube link, is actually on that thread. So you can go on our Twitter, you can check that out. It's Nicolette Larson's Can't Get Away From You, produced by Ted Templeman. Eddie Van Halen played on it. It's a great little song. I would highly recommend everybody check that out. And that is the Twitter poll from this past week. So, Mark, we've already heard what George is kind of looking forward to. He wants to go back to the Women and Children. Well, how about you? What are you in the mood for tonight?
It's been a trialsome sort of week. And so I would be very, very happy. I very much need to hear the song that I want. I need to hear my favorite Van Halen song, which I have yet to reveal on the air. I think it's still a secret. So if we land on it, you'll know, and my mood will enhance greatly, but I need to hear it. I'm going to try so hard to manifest the song that I want to hear. And if I spin it, or if the wheel spins it rather, you'll know, all will be revealed.
There you have it. I'm going to throw in another, vote there for Eric Senich's song that he wanted. Last time we heard from him, Humans Being, I think would be a great one to spin tonight. But I had a dream last night, Mark, and I very rarely dream about podcasting, thankfully, but I had a dream about this show, and the song we spun for this show was Jump. Like, I would be okay with Jump tonight. I think that'd be a lot of fun. I'm in the mood to have some fun. We got George here. Mark's in a good mood. What do you say we have a ball and listen to some Jump?
We could do that. But before we do, George, do you have a song you want to manifest, or do you just want to see if maybe the wheel's going to give us another Women and Children First?
I'd love another Women and Children First, but you know what? I'm going to be happy with any song that's on the faster and heavier side. I think that's where Van Halen really shines. Give me something like Loss of Control, Light Up the Sky. Heck, it can even be from the Sammy era. Give me Get Up or Source of Infection.
There you go. You heard it here. He wants some Unchained, so maybe the wheel will be kind.
Maybe. What do you say? Should we give this sucker a spin and see what comes up?
We are primed, we are ready, and all we need is for Sammy to give us the go-ahead. So whenever Sammy's ready, let's spin it.
Here we go.
Here we go!
All right, and we are coming down to... Oh, please, 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 please.
Oh!
No!
Oh, no!
You said it would be a Van Halen theme
song. Of course.
Mark, and it is.
Of course.
or the bullet, we were so close to Run Around. And Run Around is legitimately one of my favorite Van Halen songs of all time. I was so happy for like a second. But we're getting Van Halen 3.
I cursed us. I jinxed us. This is my fault. Oh my God.
Now I know how Greg felt, although I'm sure this is going to be a lot better than how many say I.
I don't know. Somewhere out there in the webosphere, where in parts unknown, there's a Michael Green laughing hysterically and victoriously. But we're coming for you, Michael. Jesus.
All right.
Okay.
Mark, do you have any recollections from this one? It's kind of right near the end of the album, right before How Many Say I, Ballad of the Bullet. Gun to my head, I don't even think I could whistle this tune for you right now. I haven't heard it in so long. Do you have any recollection of this one?
Big shocker, no, because this album completely went under the radar entirely for me. So every time we have spun a Van Halen 3 track, it's been a fresh experience for me. And it has not been a great fresh experience, as you know. But no, this one... No recollection, no nothing.
How about you, George? Have you spun a lot of Van Halen 3 as you've kind of rediscovered the band here?
Van Halen 3 is the album I've listened to the least, and I don't think that's going to shock anyone. This is Van Halen 3. To me, it's always sort of seemed like Van Halen from Wish.com.
Wow.
That's fair.
Damn. I mean, yeah. It's hard to argue that. And before we even get into the song, I'm going to say my apologies at the top of the show. Apologies to Gary Cherone for what is probably about to be said.
Hey, I really liked the last song from Van Halen 3 we did, Without You. I thought that was pretty killer. And I really like Fire in the Hole, too. So I'm holding out hope.
Are we going to find a hidden gem, Corey?
That's right. Be optimistic, guys. This could be a really good one. I remember this one, the title was actually taken from a Malcolm X speech where he said during the civil rights movements in 1964, we're going to be forced to either use the ballot or the bullet. So that's kind of, Van Halen's never been known to be really a political band, but they kind of go in that direction on this track by the sounds of it. That, and I know Van Halen fans, I think, although they didn't really connect lyrically with the song, and we'll get into the lyrics as we get going here, the guitar work on this one, pretty great from what I hear.
Well, based on the content of the lyrics and what it's about, I like the origin of this track, at least in terms of the title. So maybe that'll have a positive influence on how we listen to this track. Let's hope, because I don't want to go down in our podcasting history as doing nothing but just shitting all over this album, just because it's like, we're not trying to, it's just, the tracks either work or they don't. And unfortunately, based on our listening from the show, it's all recorded, you guys. The odds of this album being a winner is stacked against it, just based on how we've already talked about the tracks we've spun. So I'm maybe we'll find a diamond in the rough.
Here we go. This is a Ballot or the Bullet from Van Halen 3. All right, George, you wanted something kind of a little faster. What'd you think of that that intro?
Well, it's definitely moving at the right tempo, and they're not taking too long to get to it. You know, I was a little concerned at first that they were going to drag out that intro riff, but no, they managed to get into the swing and get the drum beat in quick enough. But that guitar sound, that production sounds pretty muddy to me. Like, I don't think it really has the power that Eddie's guitar had on a Ted Templeman album.
No, I think that's great comment. There was very little power in that guitar sound. Like, I agree 100%, Mark.
That's exactly what my comment was going to be right out the gate was just, I'm not digging this tone in the recording, especially on whatever's happening with Eddie. It doesn't help that I think the effect pedal he's going through is like a phaser, and that can sometimes work against how you're recording, you know, in terms of quality. So yeah, not a great start. I like the riff though. If you can make out what the riffs, what the riff is, that sounds pretty cool. So yeah, I like that it's a faster, fast-paced tempo on this one. So maybe it'll stay consistent like that.
And fans hate it when we do this, but we're required by law to point out that Mike Anthony did not play bass on this song. It was in.
Of course.
Now, Mark, we talk a lot about David Lee Roth lyrics and Sammy Hagar lyrics. I wanted to get your take on Gary Cherone lyrics, especially in the Van Halen era, especially this opening verse.
I like the opening verse. He has something he's trying to say. He's pointing something out very fervently, and I dig it. I don't dig how explosive the bass is, because it's like we substituted guitar tone for just this monstrous bass sound that's just sort of, he's not even playing along with the guitar. He's literally just sort of just explosive note and just kind of letting it ring out. And it's just, it's stagnant and just, it's overwhelming. But lyrically, as you said, I like this opening verse.
Yeah. I would have to say that it sounds like the wording they're using is pretty cool. Although the message isn't really coming together yet. Like, they're obviously trying to urge you towards political activism, but as to how to do it or what cause for what reason, well, we're not there yet. So we'll see if this starts to get a little more coherent as the song goes on.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I wanted to point out. When we did Dirty Water Dog, remember that one, Mark? It was way early on in the run. Lyrically, it took a hard left turn. It looked like it was going politically one way, and then it took a hard left turn into no man's land. And here's another, it's very generally political, like Bono, he's not at this point, but I'm with him. I'm like George, I'm hoping that the picture gets a little clearer as we move along here. So about equality, by
yes.
Necessary is kind of a dangerous sentiment, maybe for my American friends on the panel.
Well, he said by any means, not necessary.
Yeah, sorry.
you know, I'm. Is Gary trying to go for a living color thing, or is? I'm not sure. Now I'm not so sure. I gave him the first verse. I was like, yeah, that's not bad lyrically. I like that. And then like now I'm not sure where he's going with this. I'm not sure what he's trying to say. Also, I'm not digging his vocal line. It's shocker. I know. I'm not digging his vocal lines that he's choosing to use on these phrases. I don't dig his phrasing whatsoever vocally. And once again, unfortunately, I am overwhelmed with the sense that he's trying really hard to sound like Sammy Hagar, because that's just what it kind of sounds like to me. We know he doesn't sound like Sammy. If you've ever heard Extreme, he doesn't sound like Sammy at all. So I don't know, what is he doing on this album?
So George, aside from Land About Equality, we have, and when history repeats her hour, the pendulum will swing into power. Though not in vain, like our forefathers, freedom never had no room for cowards. Does that lend any clarity to what the message of the song is?
So now that we know that equality is like a word that's big and bold, and just based on the name of the song as well, they got to be talking about the historical sort of civil rights movements of America in the 1960s, when African Americans were trying to end segregation and get equal rights to vote and all the other things that they were denied. I would say that, yeah, it would be pretty clear to me that this represents that movement primarily based on the title. But I think also the lyrics are kind of written in a way that makes them sound pretty general so that you can relate them to whatever other cause that you want to try and relate them to. If you really want to shoehorn something in, it'll probably fit with these lyrics.
Yeah, and when I said Bono, he's not. It's kind of like you look at a U2 song where the lyrics are like early morning, April 4, a shot rings out in the Memphis sky. Very, very specific, right? And very to the point. Whereas these, like you said, very generic. You can kind of fit it to almost any cause that you want.
The ballot, or the bullet, the choice is up to you. The ballot, or the bullet, I'll tell me what you gotta do. The sword or the pen can't be held by the same hand.
I'm shocked no political figure used this song as a means of for their like their campaign. This sounds like a campaign theme song. The ballot or the bullet, the choice is up to you. And it's like, okay, so you want people to vote? Is that what we're doing here? It's just like, this came out in what, 98? So did W. Bush use this? This sounds like something he'd do.
Well, and the sword of the pen can be held by the same hand. That sounds like a campaign slogan, doesn't it?
Yeah, very much so. Like, this sounds like a campaign song. And I don't know, it's kind of, it goes back to what you said earlier, George, one of you guys said this earlier, is like, they're not, Van Halen's never been really known for being a like political band. They don't really swing that way. Even if some of their songs have to do with certain worldly issues, let's say, let's be generous and say, maybe they got a few of those, but they've never been overtly political. This right here, Gary's absolutely trying to go for something here. I just don't know if this was the right way to go. I'm not sure. I'm just not sure about this. I feel like his heart was in the right place, but I don't know. I just don't know.
Mark, was it really no necessary for you to go and attack Gary Cherone like that?
It feels like that's all I do when we spin this album. And I'm not, look, we have to wax poetic how much we love Extreme. And I think Gary Cherone is stupid talented, but he's just not the dude on this album. This was not his album. And
like
it's not
I said,
his fault.
Man, when you order when you order Sammy Hagar on wish.com, Gary Cherone gets delivered to your house.
Ouch. Oh,
yes. I never said that.
Well, listen, you did say that he was trying to do his best impression of Sammy Hagar. And that's exactly how I feel about him. It's like he's forcing himself into a style that isn't really where he excels. And the song Play With Me by Extreme is so freaking good. And he's hitting these high notes that are amazing. And he's doing nothing. And he's doing nothing like that in Van Halen 3.
We've talked about before on the show that Gary didn't really get some time to, I guess, kind of be with the band. He didn't get time to tour with them before recording this album. And I think that was a mistake. I think he definitely should have gotten more time with the group, with the boys, to kind of, I don't know, feel the vibe, you know, see if, while on the road, like, am I a fit for this band, or is this just something I'm doing because I feel like I should do it? I don't know. But I think that really hurt in terms of them going into the studio, probably what, blindly, like, it's like, oh, we know what Gary can do. Sure. Come in the studio and we'll figure it all out. Like, that's kind of what it sounds like. And ultimately every time we listen to a track,
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
With the exception of that one, for me anyway, it felt like Gary is just so out of place in this band. And then also sometimes the music doesn't play well either, but I think it hurts. It hurt. And this song definitely is sort of playing into that. What do you think, Corey?
Well, I was wondering what you guys thought about the kind of acoustic interlude coming up in here, which just doing some reading on the Van Halen encyclopedia, it was played on a dobro, which I don't know anything about. I'm not a guitar guy, Mark, but those are those really cool looking kind of resonator guitars, right? With the cone on the front, you really get that kind of cool sound out of.
I believe so.
So this is Eddie on a dobro playing that little part there, and I love that bit. When he got in there, playing a little slide dobro leading into the next verse, I thought that was fantastic.
Can you go back and play it one more time?
Oh, let's see what I can do. And then back into the electric. But I just kind of like
that's
that
a cool dobro transition. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's a very good transition. Yeah. If they had just thrown more cool little bits like that on the album and maybe turned them up in the mix so that you weren't as likely to miss them, I think that would have been to the benefit of this song and other songs on this album, probably.
100%. We've talked about the production of this album before. Eddie Van Halen produced with Mike Post, who wrote a lot of very famous TV theme songs, but didn't produce a lot of records. And we're kind of seeing why.
Yeah.
What's it gonna take to liberate an emancipation, a false proclamation? All these talking words that you legislate, I sound a little bit of time, I am a little too late. When house is divided, it just will not stand. What's it decided?
It finally happens. It finally happened. There is such a thing as an overblown Eddie Van Halen solo. That there was way too much happening right there. It was it while he played it very well, and I'm sure he was doing a ton of stuff that we can't even see. He's obviously going from one effect to the next. So, you know, he's all over his pedal board. That's cool. While at the same time doing everything up and down, that doesn't diminish the man's talent whatsoever. I would never say that. What I am saying is there is such a thing as, not often, but there's such a thing as too much. And I think Eddie is doing way too much on the solo. It almost feels like he's overcompensating for a song that isn't really working, whether for those listening or for the band themselves. I don't know, but he just feels, you know what? I can turn this around. I got you. I'm just going to give you the most rip-roaring sort of over-effective just solo that I could possibly muster. I'm going all over the place. I'm using all the stops, and it's going to be great. And to me, this is not great at all.
George, I'll get your thoughts on the guitar work there, but also, were you kind of surprised that the drums were so prevalent in the mix there? Like, usually the drums are just kind of a nice underneath track for Eddie to lay his stuff on. Drums were really up front on the guitar solo there, and actually overshadowed them in a couple of spots, I thought.
I was pretty cool with that, because I think that turning those drums up in the mix, it can give the sound a lot more power, although during a guitar solo may not have been the exact best time for them to do that. I mean, look, this album is produced by Mike Post and Eddie Van Halen, and if Eddie Van Halen is the one producing it, then what he says goes, and there's no one to talk him out of a bad decision if he's really set on it. And hey, that's probably why he played that slide guitar solo for exactly as long as he wanted to. And he probably didn't know when to cut himself off, to Mark's point. And I actually thought that was really cool, though. I did enjoy that. And Eddie, he doesn't tend to use a ton of slide guitar, so when he does, it's a treat.
Absolutely. And I love slide guitar, and I love Eddie's slide guitar. We mentioned it on the last show, actually. It's the first time he played slide guitar. It's not like he'd been playing it all of his life. Where I get Mark's point about it being like maybe a little too much. Absolutely. I did appreciate the drums as well, because we mentioned earlier, George, there's not a lot of punch to the guitar sound on this. You want the Eddie Van Halen guitar sound to have some kick to it. And it's all just kind of thin and weak, and the drums kind of lend it a little more gravity, which I kind of appreciated. So I'm not as negative as Mark though is on the solo. Yeah, it's too long. This song is well over 5 minutes and didn't have to be, but I'm a killer for any slide guitar. So I find myself kind of digging the guitar track there. Still going. Mark. Oh, you can hear the string break. There you go. That's kind of an appropriate way to end that one. Mark, what do you think?
You remember how people like to give a lot of shit about the movie The Return of the King, because it has like 25 different endings?
Right.
This song is the equivalent of that in the sense that while Return of the King is a superb film that did have a lot of endings, and that's fine, this had so many endings and it was like, Eddie, just stop. More to George's point, nobody was there to cut him off, because you're not going to say, hey, Eddie, stop playing. Like, who's going to tell him that? The other guy producing? No one's going to tell him to stop. So Eddie literally does not stop playing this outro until he breaks a damn string, which they left in the record. But they probably thought that sounded they probably thought, hey, that sounds cool, very, very rock and roll, very cool. And then, but the rest of us are going like, Jesus Christ, thank God it's over, because that was going on way too long. That does not diminish Eddie's playing ability. Again, I feel like I have to get that point across. I'm just saying that ending, why was that necessary? No, not necessary. Why?
There were so many chances, so many opportunities to end that song, and they didn't. And I'm sitting here, and for the last minute or so, I was clutching my head like, is it over? Is it over? It's still going. It's still like going. When you're at a wedding and your super duper drunk friend or uncle is making a toast and they're telling some story that you really don't want them telling, and you're just waiting for them, and you're just someone has to go grab the microphone and take it away from them because they're just not stopping this terrible drunk toast. And that's like the ending of this song.
And I was so upset, I dropped my phone on the keyboard. I already had the clip queued up because I was just assuming when Mark was gonna
spoiler alert. Yeah. That, well, you heard it here, folks. George from Metal Gods Podcast said that this song is the drunk uncle's wedding toast of Van Halen.
It never ends.
Great way to put it. I just thought the string breaking was kind of great metaphorically for, well, how that song ends and how this album ends, because that segues right into How Many Say I, which is maybe our most hated song that we've listened to thus far, Mark.
Yeah. It's like I was trying to go like, no, surely there was no, that was the one. That one's probably the one I would imagine our audience has the most fun listening to, just because, like, God, this is awful.
Greg isn't like returning my calls, so he's not real happy with us, because that's what he spun.
I feel ahead, like it's too easy to make fun of How Many Say I. It's like, is it really that bad? But yeah, it kind of is.
Oh, it is. It's pretty damn bad.
And then here we get another guest from the Deep Dive Podcasting Network. He gets to spin the wheel. And I know you're looking forward to spinning the wheel and see what your luck would be tonight. And I don't think you were that lucky tonight, George. I'm sorry.
You know what? This was a real fun time. You know, good song or bad song, I'm just happy that I could be here to chill with you guys, talk about a great band. And sometimes the most fun episodes are the ones when you get to just rip into some trash and really tell it how you feel.
All right. Well, with that said, I mean, I think we buried the lead there a little bit, but hey, whatever. George, does Ballot or the Bullet get you to wake up from the dream because it's over? Or do you find yourself wishing you were back in it because this is what dreams are made of?
Mark, there's no need to bury the lead. If the listeners have gotten this far in the episode, they probably have a pretty good idea of how I feel just based on this commentary. Sorry, guys, this isn't my Van Halen album. This isn't my Van Halen song. And I had some issues with the production. It's not all bad. The slide guitar solo was solid. And I guess that's where most of my praise ends. But you know what? I'm sorry for all you Van Halen 3 fans. I just can't deal with this one. But how did you guys feel?
Corey, we'll throw it right to you. Do you agree with George? Is the dream over for you, or are you going to be the surprise? And you felt that this is what dreams were made of.
You know what? I was right on the line for a long time in this song. I was definitely more positive on it than you guys were. But ultimately, I kind of fell on the side of... I love the dobro. I love the drums. I wasn't a huge fan of the lyrics or the vocals or the production or the mixing or anything. So I'm definitely more positive than you on it, George, but I still had to kind of give it a... It's very slim. Dream is over. Maybe had we not have the six endings at the end of the song with the dobro and the guitar string break and all that kind of stuff, or maybe, you know, the trim 40 seconds out of the actual guitar solo, put in more slide electric guitar, I think would have been cool. Would have definitely put me into the positive category here, but I can't vote it up this week. Mark, I feel like it's academic, but oh yeah, here we go.
There's a lot to take away from this song, at least for me. I personally think the lyrics are okay. I think they're great. What I don't think they're great as, I don't think they're great as lyrics to a Van Halen track. Certainly not this one. It just, everything Gary was doing vocally, whether it was his phrasing, whether it was just, I don't know, the notes he was choosing to hit and the notes he decided he didn't want to hit, because there were a few times where he would go up for the note and then he'd fall right back off of it, knowing he wasn't going to hit it at the top. And that's a shame because Gary, you know, you can. But whatever. Anyway, obviously there is no such thing as Eddie playing badly, but there is such a thing as Eddie playing too much. And for me, there was too much with the solo, like all the solos, the intros, the outros. The intro was fine. It kept going back to it. That was your repeated phrase. That's fine. It was the solo and of course the Return of the King outro, where it was just we're going to the Grey Havens, we're going back to the Shire, wait, we got one more stop in Rivendell, wait a minute, back to the Shire, here we go, until finally we didn't pull the plug, he just broke a string and was like, well, that's the end of it, stop. And that's I mean, I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing that like Eddie stops only when the string breaks and no one else can tell him when to stop other than that. Which, but Mark, if that's the case, yeah.
Eddie was just trying to finish what he started.
Give a golf clap for George. Oh, see, you got Diamond Dave saying no see on that one. You know, I'm powerless against it, but I appreciate your joke. I see what you did there. Unfortunately, the cons far outweigh the pros on this one. And once again, we're going to have to add to the trash heap that is this album, because how many more songs from this album must we endure?
All the rest of them, actually. We're doing every single one. We have 84.
I mean, how many are left?
Oh, geez. Yeah. Oh, there's a few. There's definitely. Let's see. Right. We haven't done New World or What I Want or From Afar or Once or Fire in the Hole or Josephine or Year to the Day or Primary. Yeah, we got a few to go.
Oh, my God. You just give me a headache. That. Jesus.
How many times do you think Van Halen played this live on the Van Halen 3 tour?
This is one of their more, for all its faults, this is one of their more kind of upbeat rocking songs, so to speak, that so far that we've heard from this album. So I'm gonna say they probably played it a lot more than they probably should have. So I don't know, 12 times.
George, you gonna go higher or lower than 12?
I'm gonna guess that they played it twice.
Actually, you're both wrong. It's zero. They never played this one live.
Well, that's very telling.
I'm not gonna fault them for that.
Yeah.
Now, Corey, why did you have to go and mention all the other song titles? Because apparently there's an instrumental that precedes this. You know, before you have the ballot, you have the primary.
Oh, yes. I almost forgot about that. Now we got to listen to it. You guys ready for a little primary?
That's right.
Bonus.
Here we go.
I hope. Yeah.
Sorry, tell us your hopes before I play it, Mark. Thank you, George.
I don't have any hope,
by the way.
just be a good instrumental song, please.
We know that this one ends a lot quicker than the last one.
Yes, this one's only a minute 27. So
all right,
here's Primary, the preceding song of Ballot or the Bullet from Van Halen 3.
Mm-hmm.
Eruption, it ain't. That's primary. Mark?
He said, I want my guitar to sound like a sitar. Well, why don't you just play a sitar, Eddie? Nonsense. I need to play it like it sounds like it's electric. I want an electric sitar. Okay, what if we just find you a pedal that you can do that? Okay, go find it. They found it. There it is. It was not pleasing to the ear whatsoever for me. Eddie played it great. I could actually hear the finger work happening, so kudos, but that was never in question. I just don't think the pedal effect was the right one, but that's just me.
Yeah, that song is no Spanish Fly, and yeah, I kind of like the effect, but the melody, it's all janky. It doesn't sound like it was really well thought out. It sounds like that was maybe the first or second take that he played, and he was just kind of messing around rather than it being something he actually wrote ahead of time.
That tracks.
Janky is a great word. That's exactly what I was thinking. It sounded janky, and it doesn't even lend into the next song, into Ballad or the Bullet.
No.
You know, a good instrumental should kind of prime you up and get you ready for the next track, right? And God, that was just weird. I got to go back to what Mark said. It wasn't pleasing to the ear. I have to agree.
I don't think it was, no.
0-2.
You can't win them all. Yeah, can't win them all. That's look, and that just goes to show you that even a band that some might deem the perfect rock band, some would, not all of them are without their flaws, because you know you're gonna catch a few stinkers in the midst, especially when you have such an extensive catalog like Van Halen does. They can't all be winners. We've discussed this. It's not often that we unanimously decide that the dream is over for the track that we discuss. But when it does happen, we have to let you know, like, look, this is just our thoughts. This is just our opinion. If you love the song, great. If you thought that that instrumental primary was just the tits, then awesome. I'm sure someone out there will be happy to hear that. But for us, no, did not work either track. So unfortunately, we have to once again put this on the rubbish pile, and with the rest of the Van Halen 3 tracks, with the exception of that one.
Yeah, I still say Without You is a banger. That's just me, though.
There you go. It is. I recall that now. It's like I'm very happy that one was good, but sadly, I think we've reached the extent of goodness from Van Halen 3 with that one.
I hope not. I hope there's one more gem that you guys find in there. Just one more would make all that pain and suffering a little more worth it.
We got one coming up. I'm a fan of Fire in the Hole. That was the big single from Van Halen 3 from the Lethal Weapon 4 soundtrack. So when that one comes up, I think we're going to have a good time. But the rest,
that's probably true.
Yeah, the rest I'm just not that familiar with, because much like George, this is my least listened to Van Halen record.
It's never gonna reach the upper echelon of favorite albums, that's for sure. And for me, it's doing this show, listening to these songs, is forever solidifying the fact that, you know what, I did good going all those years not listening to this album, and now here we are. It's like, ugh, did I miss out? Nah, I'm good. But that does not diminish whatsoever the power and the majesty of Van Halen themselves, because they're still one of the greatest rock bands in the world. Otherwise, we would not be doing this show if we didn't think so. So they can't all be winners. And unfortunately, the dream was over for all of us on this one. And that is the episode. But we could not have done this without the expertise and the wonderful commentary by our guest today, Mr. George Solano from the Metal Gods podcast. George, cannot thank you enough for being on the show. We, as Corey said, big fans of your work. Love Judas Priest. Love that you're bringing the love of Judas Priest to the masses, as it were. And we appreciate you being on the show. Tell the good people what you got going on and where they can find you on the social media.
All right, time to plug the pluggables. Well, my friends, you can find us on Twitter at Metal Gods Pod, and we're on Facebook. You can send us an email at metalgodspod@gmail.com. And we're on all the major streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, Google. You can even listen in your web browser. Anywhere that you can hear the podcast will rock. You can also hear the Metal Gods podcast. And whether you're a hardcore Judas Priest fan or pretty casual, you know, we're for everyone, because we keep it pretty simple. We break down one song per episode, much like And the Podcast Will Rock. So if you haven't heard a song, then, you know, it's not too much of a challenge to check out a new song every 2 weeks, or because we're not a weekly show, we are at this point bi-weekly for the most part. And I would love to get Mark and Corey on the show at a certain point as well. We've had guests from actually all around the world, Europe, Asia, Australia. So connecting with other metalheads worldwide is why I do it. So it'll be a pleasure to sort of connect with you listeners as well. And again, Corey, Mark, thank you so much for having me on. I've listened to every episode. This is one of my favorite shows.
Well, thank you very much for that. I personally would love to come on Metal Gods. I think that's a fantastic show. And I want to give a special shout out to your wife, because you mentioned she listens to our show. And I can't even get my own wife to listen to my show. So thank you very much for listening. And if this is your last show because of this week's track or because of something Billy George said, I get it. But thank you very much for listening. We're glad to have you along.
Oh, hey, Rebecca's a bigger Van Halen fan than me. She actually did get to see the band on the reunion tour, which I'll always be jealous about, because now we're not having any more opportunities in the future.
Does she want to come on a podcast?
I'll ask her.
Perfect. That'd be great. And you know, and you mentioned coming on the show. I want to talk a little bit about what we got coming up in August. And I just kind of sprung this on Mark before we started recording here tonight. August is shaping up to be a really interesting month with guests. I know we've had a ton of great guests, but we have some big ones maybe coming up in August. So I've kind of dubbed it All-Star August coming up on And the Podcast Will Rock. First up is Kevin from the Tom Petty Project. I'm really looking forward to that. He's a great dude, and we're going to talk a little Van Halen with him. After that, we got author Heath McCoy, who wrote one of the greatest wrestling books of all time, on Stampede Wrestling. He was on our Aerosmith show. He's a huge Van Halen fan. He's very much looking forward to coming on. That'll be the second week in August. After that, I don't want to, you know, give away too much because they're not 100% confirmed, but that third week, talking about books, talking about Van Halen books, we might have a very special author coming on the show that third week of August. And for all you Canadian fans listening, a very prominent radio personality who also does a very successful podcast, which did a really great interview with Michael Anthony not that long ago. He's looking at coming on the show that fourth week. So All-Star August is shaping up nicely. However, August has 5 weeks. So we're looking at maybe bringing somebody back for that last week in August. So I'm going to put a poll up on Twitter, and I'm going to list all the different special guests, including George, who have been on the show thus far. And we're going to let the folks decide, who would you like to hear come back for the last show in August? And we'll see. And whoever wins that Twitter poll, we'll reach out to them, and hopefully we can get them back on the show. And if they just totally hated their time and totally blow us off, we'll go to the second highest vote getter, and so on and so forth, until we get back to George, because I'm sure he would agree to come back on. He might be the only one. I'm not sure. But that fifth week in August, we're going to try and get back One of our more popular special guests. And we've had a ton of great guests, Mark. We've been really, really lucky so far. So I'm really looking forward to see how that Twitter poll shakes out.
Absolutely. And part of me thinks it's going to be sort of a three-way tie between George and Greg, who both need do-over shows, as it were, you know, for better songs. But then the third one's going to come in because, you know, the cult grows and Mariano is everywhere. So I have a feeling people just to troll us a little bit are probably going to be like, yeah, just throw Mariano back in there. Why not?
Perhaps. You know, I think your good friend, I think our friend Kelsey might get some votes because we got a lot of comments when Kelsey was on the show. A lot of people loved her insights because she wasn't afraid to call us idiots and, you know, take us to task whenever we said something stupid, which I appreciated. So who knows? Maybe she'll win the poll.
With all that being said, Corey, tell the good people where they can find the show.
They can find our show at Podcast Will Rock on Twitter. You can also email us podcastwillrock@gmail.com and podcastwillrock.com, where you can catch back episodes. You can get some merch. I made almost $9 in merch sales last month. So thank you very much for all the people who are buying stickers and mugs and the odd T-shirt. I tell you, the hoodies are really comfortable. If you want to go out there and get yourself a good-looking hoodie, podcastwillrock.com has got all your merch needs right there. But we should always give a special shout out to our brethren here at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network and such shows as Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Skinnerd Reconsidered, The Deep Purple Podcast, T-Bones Prime Cuts on the Other Side. I meant to tweet them this weekend. I finally got my copy of the Georgia Satellites live album, and I wanted to take a picture and tag him in it because I know he's a big fan of the Georgia Satellites with me there. So thinking about you, T-Bone. In the Lap of the Pods, a Fantastic Queen podcast. They're probably my favorite podcasting name of all time. The Magician's Podcast with Scott, talking all things Uriah Heep, Hawk Binge, Maiden A to Z, Diary of the Mad Men, Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast, of course, Metal Gods Podcast featuring our good friend George here, and you can catch Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited, featuring myself and John Mariano, and Backtracks Theme Music, where we're talking all things movies, music from movies. Check that one out. And the Tom Petty Project, which is the latest show to join the roster here at the Deep Dive Podcasting Network.
By the way, Corey, I already called dibs on a certain song a certain movie for the Backtracks, Backtracks theme music. So I'll look forward to being on that one as well.
You want to enlighten us? Because John just mentioned that you had picked one out, but I don't think he told me which one it was.
He didn't? Okay. No. Well, my Twitter username and my username pretty much everywhere is Risky Georgeness. So when you get around to talking about the movie Risky Business, then I would love to be there for that.
And which song? Are we going old time rock and roll or something a little deeper on the soundtrack?
Oh, I mean, we could do that one, or we could do the Tangerine Dream stuff as well. I'd be okay with either of those.
Awesome. Very much looking forward to that. That's gonna be great.
There you go. You can find Corey at CD Morissette on Twitter if you want to, and Instagram. Find me at Mark the Bat on Twitter and Instagram as well. And that'll do it. That's the show, you guys. Not the track we were all hoping for, but a track nonetheless, still celebrating the band of Van Halen, still celebrating their catalog, because that's what we do here on And the Podcast Will Rock. And we will rock you later.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.